is a heavy and vulnerable conversation to have. This platform is a safe place for all individuals to come share their life's journeys of surviving grief without judgment.
My name is Tiffany Ware, and I'd like to welcome you to the QT Surviving Grief Podcast. I'm your podcast host, and I'm here today with a pastor. This is our very first pastor on the podcast, and I'm so excited. Not only is he just the pastor, he's my pastor. So I would like to introduce to some Pastor Marcus K. Duke.
Bless you. Thank you so much. I'm so elated to be on your podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on. I'm very excited about this conversation because I think you have so much experience just in grief and, you know, a relationship with God and all of that. And I really feel like it's going to be able to help a lot of people today, for sure, Pastor. So one thing I do, you knew Quentin. And so you knew how crazy his personality was.
Most ever.
Every episode, I always start out with a fun icebreaker. And so I didn't tell you what this was, so I'm anxious to hear your answer. So,
oh my goodness.
All right. Which seat do you prefer to sit on in an airplane? Do you like the window seat, the middle seat, or the aisle seat? And why?
If I'm going to be honest with you, it'd be neither one of them because I don't like to fly on no plane. But if I was going to fly on a plane, I would say the middle seat.
Okay.
Safe. Safe. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in between everybody. So.
So then I thought about this other thing where I like to sit on a plane. The emergency exit is 12. Let's see. Yeah, 12 seats. That's where the emergency exit is. So if something was to happen, you have a little more room.
I feel you.
Especially on Southwest. That comes with a lot of responsibility. Because if something happens, you have to take an oath before you even take off that you're going to step in and be one of the people who help these people get off the plane.
Wow.
So it's a lot of responsibility to come with. But I do like that part.
Yeah.
I just like that on the plane.
Yeah. I don't know about the emergency seat. I don't think I won't want that one. That's too close to the door for me. So,
it is. Know. Yes. It's right on the wing. Yeah. Yeah.
On the wing.
Yeah. It's kind of near the wing, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Okay. So we're going to put you in the middle seat.
In between everybody.
Yeah. In between
Saving
everybody.
Your arms.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good answer. Well, I appreciate you for
that was a good
answering
one.
That. Yeah, I try to pull out these just crazy questions and just see, and that was a funny one.
But on record, I would choose none of them. I don't want to ride no plane. I never want a plane.
Okay, so no church trips to Disney or nothing like
that?
We're taking a bus.
I don't know how we're going to get there, but.
We're taking a bus. We have to take a charter bus.
Well, we're going to take a charter bus. That's right. Because I ain't flying. I want to go fly one time.
Oh, man.
That's a true story. Yeah.
Well, that was good.
That was funny.
Well, okay. I want, Pastor, I want you to let the people know who is Marcus K. Duke. Just your background, where you're from. Who are you?
Well, thank you again, Tiffany, for giving me this opportunity. I tell everybody, Tiffany, I'm everyday people. I'm from a little small town called Liver, Tennessee. Before you even blink your eyes, you're already out of there. But I want to give a shout out to the restaurant there. That's a Soda Pop Junction restaurant there that will make you hurt yourself. Their burgers, you know, is on point. But I love people, you know, and I love people with my heart, no matter their race or their beliefs or lifestyle. I don't meet a stranger. I don't. Uh-huh. Like, I don't meet a stranger. And I try to be comical. I don't think I'm funny, but I try to be funny. I do love to make people laugh.
Yeah,
I love to make people laugh, but I've been told that I'm goofy. I'm married. I'm married to the lady Shannon Duke, who's an awesome wife. We have a beautiful daughter, Grayson Dolores, which is a miracle. And I am the grateful pastor of the NDCC, and in Columbia, Tennessee. And July of this year will be a total of 13 years. Wow. And I thank God that my mom is still living. She turned 76 years old last month. So, so that's just me. You know, I love people. I love, you know, more importantly, I love God. But in order for me to love God, I got to love people. So I love people.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great, great introduction. Everything you just said is definitely you, for sure.
Oh, bless you.
And it's so funny. I'm going to tell you this one little thing. My brother, TJ, he visited me a few times, I guess, at church over the past year. And he told me, he said, is your pastor a gym teacher? I said, why you say that, TJ? He said, because he's active. And I thought it was the funniest thing. Well, you was a PE teacher in high school and middle school.
My favorite activity in school was PE.
Okay.
Wow. You know, the gym.
Okay.
So, out of everything in school, PE was it.
That is too funny. Oh my goodness.
It is.
Well, yes, he did say that to me. So I thank you for that introduction. I just
bless you.
The people knowing, you know, who we have on and a little bit of background about you. And one thing I do know about you is, now your father was a preacher or pastor, am I right about that?
He was a pastor.
Okay. Yes, so ma'am. How was that growing up as I always hear about a PK, you know, PK kids, preacher's kids. So how was that for you growing up? What was that, like the 80s, 90s, somewhere in there?
It was in the middle, in the 90s.
Okay.
Up to the early 2000, 2004. It was good and it was bad.
It was good and bad
because it was good because I was able to see the man who was an awesome man at home be an awesome man in ministry. He treated my mom great. He took care of her. He made sure she was taken care of, and he took care of my brother and I. But the bad side of it, that's a bad side of being a pastor's kid, being a preacher's kid, is the disrespect. You know, I've seen him. You know, I see my dad get disrespected because he maybe didn't fit people's preferences, or he didn't have a theology background.
Yeah,
And so seeing him being hurt when all he was trying to do was to make a difference in people's lives, that hurt. You know, that hurt. You know, growing up, I watched my dad even before becoming a preacher. Though, even before my dad became a preacher, you know, I seen people, you know, kind of stabbed him. You know. In the back, and that, you know, it's an awful feeling, but because my dad was a man my dad was a man of integrity, you know. But you know, but in my younger days, you know, you might not believe this now. In my younger days, I was a hothead.
Okay.
Now, you know, it didn't take much for me to snap. It didn't take me to be angry. But my dad always taught us to not do real for real. Don't do evil for evil. So I appreciate my dad because he really taught me how to be grounded and how to treat people that don't treat you right. Now, see, my dad treated people good that didn't treat him right or treat him fairly, but he was still fair to them. He was still good to them. So, so being a preacher kid overall was not bad though. That's where I met Lady Duke at. Was that my dad's stop passing it?
Wow. Okay.
If it weren't for my dad pass, I wouldn't have met that fine woman. So, you know, daddy, also, being a preacher kid for me was overall was good because even though he was a pastor, you know, he allowed us to make our own decisions. He wasn't strict.
We had respect. Okay, gotcha.
It was a joy. My brother and I was his musicians.
Okay, I see. Okay.
I was his keyboard player. My brother was his bass player. So I got to serve my dad for a very long time. In his pastoral days. So overall, I'm gonna say overall though, it was, you know, besides seeing the disrespect, you know, but the way he handled it made me the man that I am right now.
I'm sure it does take a certain level of having tough skin and just being in that type of role and I've seen the just from me and Quentin, you know, how that can go in the, you know, religious community.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it does have to develop. Mm-hmm.
It can be very harsh.
Yeah.
People don't understand that's somebody's daddy.
Yeah.
That's somebody's brother. Yeah. That's right? That's somebody's uncle.
Yeah.
That's somebody's friend, you know, and as a pastor, you upfront, you're in front of everybody. So it makes you, it makes you an easy target. You know, it makes you an easy target. But people forget that even though that man is standing behind that sacred desk, he has a heart. He has feelings. You know.
For sure.
And he's not perfect. He's imperfect.
Right.
It was hard seeing him sometimes having to be the bigger person. In every aspect, he had to be the bigger person, or he had to remain silent, or he couldn't say what he wanted to say, you know.
Yeah.
And you see him hurt. Yeah. But again, overall though, it was great. It was great.
And it's good to hear that from you, because I know a lot of times I do know a lot of preachers' kids, and a lot of times they do feel like, oh, it's just like eyes are always on us. What are we doing? Yeah. It's a lot of pressure. But it doesn't sound like that was your experience. And so I like this perspective.
No pressure. But again, it has to do with my it could be how a child parents are. Okay. Mm-hmm. My mom and daddy, they was I ain't gonna say strict.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say strict, but they was disciplined. And they taught us discipline. Mm-hmm. How about that? But it wasn't hard for us. Like, they let us live. They let us make decisions. You know, they trusted us that by their example that we was gonna do the right thing.
So it
was no pressure. You know, I had to be home at a certain time though. You know.
Yeah, it was boundaries and rules.
Yeah, it was the boundaries there. You know, I'd be home a certain time, and sometimes I failed that curfew.
Okay.
Sometimes he would give it a poop, and he'd say, like, you know, son, even though he don't come home when I tell him to all the time, ain't that right, son? In front of everybody. But he would joke about it. But it was the truth.
Yeah.
But it was the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes I missed that curfew, but. I can see him. I can still see him now, sitting with his legs crossed, waiting for me to get back home. It's like 1:30 in the morning, and he's waking.
Wow!
And when I come in the house, he'll get up from the couch and go right back to bed, and he didn't say a word. He's want to make sure I got home.
Yeah, just trying to make sure you got home. Well, that's amazing. It just shows the love that he definitely had for you. And we're going to get into, more of his story for sure. I want to ask you this one question before we get into his story, though.
Okay.
I want to ask you, do you know the first time you remember experiencing loss or grief, like the very first time?
My first time, I want to say my first time that I experienced grief was with my mama. She got hit by two Caucasian boys. And there was a Caucasian girl with them as well.
Okay.
But they chose to hit my mama with their truck door. She was walking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She was walking on her road, not bothering nobody. But because she was black, they decided to hit her. One of the symptoms of grief is anger. You know, a lot of people look at grief as being depressed and being out of it. But one of the symptoms of grief is anger. And so I was very angry. Even though the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. But what I'm telling you, Tiffany, if I would have been home.
Oh, yeah.
I would have sinned because it snapped my mama's ankle. It turned her ankle completely around. Her ankle was, her foot was facing her. So, you know, your foot is this way, but her foot went this way because the impact of that door made her twist her ankle. It broke her ankle in three places. And she still has those pins in her ankles right now. Even today, when I think about what happened to my mom, even today, it still grieves me. And this happened in 2001. We in 2025.
This is recent.
Yeah, it happened before 9/11 in 2001.
2001. Okay. Wow.
So it actually happened before 9/11. It happened on September 3rd, 2001. Yeah.
Were you still in high school? Because I know when 9/11 happened, correct. I was still in high correct. School. So you were still young.
Yeah, I was still young.
High school student.
I was still young. I was I was 17. 17. I was a junior. Gotcha. Junior in high school. Junior. Yeah. And you know, even today it grieves me. So my first real experience with grief was when my mama was racially targeted because of the color of her skin.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
So you know, sitting in the courtroom and hearing them admit that they hit her because she was black, that you don't forget that. You know, that's something you don't forget. Mm-hmm. I had to heal through that. I had to heal through that because Satan was trying to conform me to his ways, to be hateful and evil towards people that's not the same color of my skin, and that was a trick of the enemy. And that was a trick of the enemy because you can't blame every person that's different color than you for what that race did. So you can't blame everybody for what a set of people did. You know, so, but God,
that's trauma though. I mean, yeah,
it was
all of y'all. I mean, for her, for sure. But your brother, your dad, like y'all being, of course, protectors always correct. Of your mother. I mean,
and being men.
Yeah, that's a journey to get through.
And it was, but at first it wasn't the best feeling. You know, when you first go through a test, you know, it's never a great feeling. But after. Mm-hmm. But because we persevered through it, it has made me so much like, you know, and that's why I can take a lot of backlash. I can take a lot of criticism. I can take, you know, a lot of people saying something about me because of what I went through with my mom. It has really made me the man that I am as a man and as a spiritual man. You know, my mama corrected me. She's like, what's wrong with you? You supposed to have your faith in God. Why you all angry when you see that I'm still here? I'm still living. I'm still going forward, moving on with my life. That means you got to move on with your life. I'm still here. It could have been enough. It could have killed her.
Yeah.
But it didn't. But everybody don't have my story. Some people that have my story, their parent didn't make it, or their brother didn't make it. Or their sister didn't make it. So you know, mama made it, but just going to the hospital knowing that she's in the hospital for no reason,
right?
Because of a hateful act. Sometimes you know that. Sometimes that's hard. It's hard to process.
Yeah, I bet it was hard to process. And I like the way she really helped you kind of reframe.
She did.
You know, your anger and really redirect it. With but I'm still here, and correct. This happened, but. You know, just getting your mind going in a whole nother way, because we need that type of guidance when we're dealing with something that's so heavy. I could not have met. That was very heavy. So I thank you for being vulnerable enough to share that.
Oh, bless you.
And transparent enough, because that, I'm sure when we recount some of these stories, Pastor, it's not easy.
It's not.
And I'm sure it brings up a lot of feelings, but I really appreciate you for sharing that. And that was a whole different perspective on grief as well, because that's a grief from an event that happened, which is very normal. Like death, grief is not always about death. It can be different things. So I appreciate that.
Correct. And you know, and one of the big signs of grief is anger. Mm-hmm. Because even when you lose a loved one,
that's right.
It hurts, but it also makes you angry. It makes you angry because you don't understand. Yes, you feel me.
You
feel me. So we don't understand why. And from the human side of it, it's like this ain't fair. Even though we know that we have a date with death. But it's hard for us to have that peace about it because we're not. We're never going to be ready for it. So, never going to be ready for it. So, but we know though, after this life, that's eternal life. But send it to a natural being, it's hard to hear that.
It's very hard to hear that. Yeah.
Especially when it's untimely.
For sure. Well, from that, you shared a lot about your mom. I really want to go into some information about your dad. Tell us, I know his name was Kenneth Duke.
That's right.
And so I just want you to tell us about who Kenneth Duke was to you and maybe your favorite memory of your dad. You kind of shared some stuff in your answer, the earlier questions, but just share a little bit about your dad.
You know, my dad, honestly, you know, he was like one of the best things that has ever happened to me. I'm talking one of the best things. He was like on celebrity status with me. You know, you know, man, I want to be where he's at. I want to do what he's doing. I used to listen to his sermons every week, even though I just watched them on Sunday morning, right?
Right.
Monday, Tuesday, my daddy, you know, now back in the day, in the early, late, in the 90s, in the early 2000s, we still had cassette tapes, you know, so.
Yes.
So daddy used to record himself, you know what I mean? He introduced us to quartet singing, to my brother and to myself. And so that's why I love singing. That's why I love traveling. Daddy, you know, he instilled a lot in me. And even though he's been gone for 5 years, my daddy's been gone for 5 years now. He died in 2019, but I can still see and hear him today. My favorite memory, we sung in places, we traveled, watched him preach, went on vacation. But my favorite memory of my daddy is fishing. It's fishing with him.
Fishing, okay.
Yeah. And I was a grown, I was probably about 18, 19, up into my 20s. We went fishing a few times and we was on this pedal boat. So this boat where you pedal, right? And so we pedaling, but I was starting to get loopy. But I wasn't going to tell him though.
Gotcha.
But you know, a daddy knows his son, right?
Yeah.
And daddy looked at me and said, "Son, you sick, ain't you?" And I started laughing instantly because I was sicker than a dog, man. That water was, it felt like we was moving, but we wasn't moving. You know what I'm saying? So I was getting, I wasn't seasick because we went on no sea, but I was getting pond sick. And man,
it takes a lot out of you too. Them pedal boats ain't no joke.
Yeah, it ain't no joke, man. We caught a lot of fish that day, and guess what? And we lost every single one of them.
Oh man!
We were trying to get the like a cage that kept the fish in the water.
Yes.
And we were trying to unloosen it, and it fell all in the pond. And
it worked.
And I told him about to go down there and get it.
No,
I ain't doing that. I can't swim anyway.
So, right. That's right.
So that's my favorite memory of my dad, though. It is. Yeah.
Good.
That's my favorite memory of him. Out of everything we done together.
Yeah.
Was the fishing part, you know?
Yeah. That's a good memory to have. I know my daddy don't do it, but my uncles and all of them, that's something they love to do, fish and hunt. Hunting fish.
It's and I ain't with that hunting. I ain't with that hunting now.
Not hunting, just fishing.
Just fishing now, but that hunting's all right because I love deer jerky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I bet it was a really nice bond for you to.
It was.
It just strengthened that bond, that father-son bond.
It did.
During those moments, I'm sure.
It did. It was a very intimate moment to have with him where we just out on the pond and we able to just talk, reminisce. Yeah. Because he was able to reminisce and just to have that daddy and father time where he's talking to me, giving me wisdom or we just laughing and cutting up. It's some times that you can't get back.
Yeah.
It's a time, you wish you could, but you can't like that. Yeah. But I'm glad I had those moments with him, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
We play horseshoes together. He used to whoop my butt on that. I didn't do too good on that, but,
Yeah, gotcha.
But he was good at horse. He can throw that horseshoe and ring it every time. But
every time.
We ain't gonna talk about what I was doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was terrible. What's the best piece of advice he ever gave you?
If I'm gonna say the best advice he gave me, It was more of his actions.
Okay.
His actions.
Yeah.
His action. What he did. Taking care of my mom. Taking care of us, his sincerity, him making sure whatever he needed to do would get done. I'm gonna say more of his actions.
Okay.
Was what's the biggest thing of advice or that he incorporated in us? Yeah, it was, I won't say more of it, it was just his actions. It wasn't more what he had said to me, but what he did in front of me.
In front of you. Yeah. Kids learn a lot, you know, just sitting watching. Like you say, your actions is can be a lot more powerful sometimes than your words.
Yeah. I mean, of course, of course he told me, about Jesus. Of course he did. But, you know, my dad was, he served, you know, he served people. He served, not only served the family, but he served people. And when he did anything, he didn't look for anything in return. If he did something for you, he didn't bring it up. He didn't throw it in your face. Yeah, man, daddy got me out of a lot of things. So, you know, the best advice was through his actions, you know, how to be a man, you know, you know, how stand up he was, you know, how honest he was, you know, and how straight up he was. So that I could say, but I really can't pinpoint something that he ever said.
But it's more of his
everyday life to me.
A lot of his values too is everything you just named.
Correct.
It's a lot of value in that, and that was the caliber of man he was. So
correct.
That's good stuff. Correct. And it also reminds me of how much it sounds like of a family man he was.
He was. You know?
A big family man, which I see you doing that now with your own family, you know.
Oh, bless you.
You know, yeah, with your daughter and first lady, you know, for sure.
I'm trying my best.
It just shows me everything you're saying now, you know, from me being in church and seeing that, and even how you cover us at church as well. I definitely see his value showing through you for sure.
Oh, bless you. Everything that I learned from him, from a pastor perspective.
Yeah.
I use it at New Day. And I'm talking about a lot of it. If I'm dealing with somebody outside of New Day, if I'm preaching somebody else's family members, homegoing, funeral, I use my daddy's style. I use his approach. I use everything that he did. That's what I do now, honestly. He was my teacher. He was my God, you know, he was my example. He was my map, honestly. I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for him. Yeah, my mama now played major role. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But my dad, he paved the way.
Yeah.
He paved the way. And because of his favor, that's where I am now, you know. So
Yeah, that makes sense. When you think of a roadmap, you have to have somebody who's helping guide you. So everything you just said makes complete sense for sure.
Bless you.
For sure.
But he was an awesome man.
Yeah.
And I truly miss him.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, we're going to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And I know we just talked about, you know, we just honored your father, but I did want to take our opportunity to honor Miss Mackenzie Cadence Duke.
That's right.
I want you to share your story about who she was to you.
So, you know, when Mackenzie came about, I was working on midnight shift and I woke up one evening. I woke up one evening and midnights whooped my butt. Okay. Anybody that works midnights, I commend you and I love you. But I had to get off that shift because midnights, oh my gosh, really messed me up. I was a zombie when I was on midnights. And so Lady Duke didn't really have a lot of interaction with me when I was on midnights because I didn't feel like doing nothing. And so one afternoon I woke up. And Lady Duke showed me something. And I'm like, okay, like, what are you? And this is how out of it I was. I was not getting nothing. She was trying to let me know she was pregnant, but I wasn't getting it. And I'm over here looking at her like, what are you talking about? So long story short, she was pregnant in 2016 with Mackenzie. 2016, she was pregnant. But before Mackenzie, Lady Duke suffered 5 miscarriages before Mackenzie. And I didn't understand how much miscarriages takes out on a woman. I didn't get that. You know, I used to hear about miscarriages, but I understand the gravity of how much it affects a woman when she has a miscarriage. And so when she got pregnant with Mackenzie, that was a big deal. Because this is the first time where this was more than a month. This is more, this is more than 2 months, this is more than 3 months, it was a big deal. With Mackenzie, she made it 24 to 25 weeks.
Okay.
But when she was pregnant with Mackenzie did not let Lady Duke walk in the store. Because every time she walked in the store, Lady Duke had to walk back out. Because when she was carrying Mackenzie, grocery stores did not mess with Lady Duke. She couldn't do it. She got sick every time. So Mackenzie kept Lady Duke out the grocery stores. Because Lady Duke was nauseated every time with Mackenzie. So everything was going good, though. Mackenzie was hilarious in the ultrasounds. Okay. She was just moving like a frog and peeing. So everything was like really going good. Everything was on track. She was a little behind a little bit, but everything was pretty much on track. But Lady Duke went for a checkup as normal. And in the 24th or 25th week, she went for a checkup, and they noticed that her blood pressure was extremely high. And she was diagnosed with preeclampsia. And this is where when a woman's blood pressure is skyrocketed. And so we prayed, Tiffany. We prayed. Yeah. Like when I say we prayed. I can honestly say I was not in fear.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doubting God. But preeclampsia would not let Lady Duke go. Preeclampsia would not let Lady Duke go. And the preeclampsia was more dangerous for Lady Duke than it was for Mackenzie.
Yeah.
So we prayed, but we finally had to make a decision. It was a hard decision. And the decision was keep Lady Duke and deliver Mackenzie, or don't deliver and lose Lady Duke and lose Mackenzie. Mm-hmm. And that was a hard, definitely a hard decision I had to make, because, I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to make it sound like I want to throw Mackenzie away.
Right.
But of course, the right thing was to keep her mother here.
Yeah.
Because this life is full of pain. It's full of misery. Right. So Mackenzie's going to be better off.
Right.
Being with the Lord.
That's right.
And then us, trying to keep her, and then losing Lady Duke. And I needed Lady Duke. Lady Duke was a great help to me. She's my love, my life, and her life is more important at that time. Mackenzie. She was at peace. She was still alive. She was good. But we had to let her go. I seen her take three to four breaths. She was fully developed. But every time I said, she was hearing as well.
Wow.
And every time I said something to Mackenzie, that's when she moved. Oh. That's when she moved, when she heard my voice. And we had to let her go. Now she has my initials. That's why she has Mackenzie K. So she's my MKD.
Okay,
I see.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. She's my MKD. Yeah.
Gotcha. That's a lot, Pastor. That needs some breathing space right there. When you have to make, I had someone on a couple of episodes ago who was in a similar predicament where, she had to make that decision as a woman.
Yes.
Her, what the quality of life would be, her correct. Current state at that time, what the child's quality of life would be if,
correct.
So that is a hard decision to make.
It is.
I'm actually happy you're on here. We've heard the female perspective of this through my previous guest, but just to hear your perspective from that male perspective, and I like the way you even reframed some of that, like, I know Mackenzie's going to be fine. She's going to be in heaven.
That's right.
you know, that's going to be the best, you know, choice here. Yeah.
Right.
It makes sense. It does.
Seen her spirit. I seen her spirit leave her body. Like, wow. I knew when the spirit left her.
Yeah.
And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12 that once the body dies, the spirit goes back to God. So
that's right. That's right.
So, you know, she's far better.
Yes. Oh,
she's
far
better. And so I had to come to peace with it. You know, that's why faith is very important. You know, now if you don't have no faith, you're gonna feel like you're making a bad choice. You're gonna feel horrible. But now I was at peace with that. I was at peace with that because I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So
yeah.
But was it hard? Yeah, it was hard. You know, you got a lot of questions. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was gonna ask you, thank you once again for sharing that, because that's, you know, it's a lot. Did you feel like during those moments of, you know, Mackenzie transitioning, do you feel like there's resources out there for the man when the couple goes through that? You know, of course it's a lot of information for the lady.
Correct.
But do you think it's like that for the man?
I'm not gonna say that it's not, but I don't feel like it is as available or known as it is for the woman.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm sure that it's out there, but it does get more centered, on the woman.
Yeah,
and one of the things is that we as men, we do hide our emotions.
Yeah.
We hide them, and we're not communicative when it comes to our feelings.
Yeah,
and we try to be, you know, we try to be the man.
Yeah,
we try to be the man. But you know, and some of that is culture, you know, especially from the black race, you know, from black men.
Oh,
you know, we try to be hard, you know, try to be strong, try not to show no weakness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for this men in general, though, we're not quick to show emotion, which can be discouraging for the woman as well. And my wife got discouraged, honestly, by me.
Yeah.
Because with the miscarriages, I was not communicative.
I see.
I was trying to, you know, not say nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hoping that it's gonna blow over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was not giving her, a dialogue of how I felt.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even ask her how she's really feeling. And so I learned even through the miscarriages that I have to show more vulnerability and show more. Sometimes we think that it's better for you not to say anything. But actually, that's the worst thing you can do, is not say nothing.
It is. It's hard to go down that journey with somebody because, like you say, we do want to just blow things over. But
it's
kind of like grief is one of them things where you go in that dark tunnel and you can't go back.
Correct.
And you have to have somebody walking with you through that tunnel. As hard as it is, and as hard as you don't want to remember certain things, and, you know, you want to block out a lot of life, you have to deal with it. And so,
That's right. Sounds
like that was the realization that you came to. Let me ask you this. What did your support system look like during that time?
Now, our support system was phenomenal. Like, it was very phenomenal. I had to talk about it myself, but the support system was great. The ministry was very understanding. Okay. When we lost Mackenzie,
okay,
we took off a whole month.
Okay, gotcha.
And I want to give a shout out to Pastor Mamie Gray, Pastor Steve Gray, Tasha and Angela Gray.
Mm-hmm.
They took our place for the whole month of April. We lost Mackenzie in March, and we didn't return back until May of 2016. So from the end of March, mm-hmm, to the end of April, Pastor Mamie, Pastor Steve Gray Jr., mm-hmm, and Tasha Gray and Angela Gray, they was overseeing our ministry the whole entire time. And our ministry was understanding, mm-hmm, allowed us to grieve for a month and a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And was still there when we returned.
Wow, it's a blessing.
And they was checking in on us, you know, sending us things, you know, and trying to encourage us. But they did not rush us. They did not rush us. We probably could have stayed off to May.
Yeah.
And they probably went into the end of May. They probably wouldn't even say anything. But the ministry was very supporting. And to have people like Pastor Mamie, Pastor Steve Gray, Tasha and Angela, standing in our place.
Yeah.
While in our absence.
Right.
That was comforting. So I didn't think of, doing the loss of McKenzie, I didn't think about ministry.
Okay. You focused on yourself and your healing and your wife's healing.
That's it. And that's all I did. You got to be being a person of faith, you got to be real. You got to be real though.
Oh yeah.
No, you got to be real. And the first person you got to be real with, you got to be real with yourself. You got to be real with yourself. And I had to be real. And I knew that the worst thing I could have done was get back in the pulpit, you know, and act like I'm okay.
Right.
Knowing my wife is damaged, knowing she's hurt, knowing she's empty, and I'm going back in the pulpit, hooping and hollering, knowing that I'm not even healed myself.
Right.
And even Jesus took the time to get away. Even Jesus experienced anger. So if Jesus felt that, who are we? You know,
right?
So
that's true.
So
that's true.
And I didn't want to be fake, and I didn't want to. Yeah. But because of the miscarriages, I didn't want to make the same mistakes I made with them, with McKenzie.
Yeah.
And I didn't want my wife to feel like I was insensitive or unaware of what happened. And I knew what happened. And I knew I had a ministry. But family comes first.
First, right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Pastor. In helping your spouse navigate that, what did your supporting role look like? Because I'm thinking of this for, anyone who may be listening who, may be going through something like this with their wife. You know, what did that support look like, you providing her that support when y'all went through that in 2016?
Well, in the times that we went through it, it was all about reassuring.
Okay.
I had to reassuring her that I'm still glad that she's still my wife.
Yes.
That I'm glad that I'm happily married. See, when we was having miscarriages, right?
Right.
I had to explain to her, like, us having a child together does not complete me.
I see.
The bond we have is my completion. The children is extra. Children don't make the marriage.
Gotcha.
It's an add-on to the marriage, but it doesn't make the marriage. For me, I can't talk about it.
From your perspective, gotcha.
I can't speak for nobody else.
Yeah.
I was already complete.
Okay, I see.
Just what lady do.
I see, yeah.
I was happy about the other ones, and I was happy about McKenzie, and I'm so excited about Grayson.
Oh man, that's
my world. But during that time, it was me reassuring her that I'm still happy that she's my wife. I'm still happy that she's alive and that we still have each other. And I had to make sure that I didn't bring up anything extra. Like,
I see.
I had to keep it, I had to make sure that she knew that I was present.
Yeah.
For her though.
Uh-huh. For her.
For her. It was challenging though.
Okay.
Because she wasn't always happy.
I'm sure.
She wasn't always in a good place.
Yeah.
She wasn't always in the mood to talk about anything. So not only did I have to reassure her, but I also had to spend time with God to say, Lord, help me on what I need to say and what I need to do, and also pour into me as well, because it's hard.
Yeah.
When you're the one pouring out, and you feel like it's not benefiting.
It's funny you say that, Pastor. My mama's been going through that, dealing with me, and exactly what you just said. So that's a real thing.
Yes, yes. You know, and when
what
you're
do I say to somebody? And then I'm emptying myself. I got to be refilled. So that may, I like you. That just hit me in home.
Yeah, when you're pouring into people, you got to make sure that somebody's pouring into you.
Yeah,
you do. And you also got to take the responsibility to allow God to pour back into you too. But if you don't put yourself in a, you know, if you're always pouring, but you don't take a minute to step aside and say, Lord, okay, what are you saying today? And what do you need me to do today? Mm-hmm. And you just out here just running and pouring, you're finna be an empty vessel.
Yes. And I think that's the thing they say, you can't pour from an empty vessel, something.
You cannot.
To that. But and that's just a true statement. Yeah, that's right. It is.
And so, you know, the poor responsibility is to make sure they always put themselves in a place where God can reach them.
Yeah.
You know, you always want to put yourself in a, you want to put yourself in a place where God can reach you, because if you get yourself in a place where you just running and doing and doing and ministering and the whole time you out of reach of God, you're going to burn out. Yeah. You're going to burn out, you know. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get tired. And you're going to get wounded too.
Right. Yeah, you are. That's true.
So, you know, you kind of doing good is good, but you got to make sure you're not out of reach.
Yeah.
And so you got to make sure you're taking time with God as well. Pause. Yeah. You got to pause. But in that pause, it got to be a healthy pause, right? You got to pray. You know, you got to read something that's encouraging. Something. You got to pour. Yes, it's good for people to pour in you, but you got to pour in yourself.
You do.
Like you do. Because everybody's not going to have the energy to pour in you all the time.
Yeah.
And you got to encourage yourself. David.
That's true.
David, man, everybody was saying, man, he got all these people killed and all this thing done happened. David had to take himself and encourage himself. He had to encourage himself. Because he knew what he was up against, but wouldn't nobody else encourage him? So he had courage. You got to encourage yourself. You do. It's very important.
Yeah, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. You do have to, because what happens when that person in here? You know, that's
correct.
Some Quinn used to tell me all the time, I can't do it for you, Tiffany. Your mom can't do it for you. You got to get a relationship with God for yourself. And like now, it's so true, because I don't have him to call and say, what did the Bible say about this? And he give me a scripture and tell me go research it. And then we come back to the conversation.
Right.
He was going to make me work for it. But at the same time, it's like he's not here now. So, yeah, I have to put some things in place to. And my mom ain't going to always be here. So you're right. You're 100% on it for sure.
Right. And to what you just said, the person, anybody that watches this podcast, a time's going to come where your number one person is not going to be able to pour in you anymore, or it's going to be gone. What are you going to do after that? You know, and so while you got that person pouring into you, that's your time to start putting into yourself and learning how to put yourself in a place of where God can pour into you and reach you, because that person's pouring to you. It's not guaranteed they're going to be with you always.
So you
know, you got to prepare yourself. You got to prepare yourself.
That's 100% true. Well, let me ask you this, Pastor. Do you guys do anything to honor Mackenzie's life? Do you guys do any rituals or anything?
When we first lost Mackenzie, the following year, we got some balloons. Okay. Did a balloon release on her birthday, March 23rd is coming up. That's her birthday, and I believe this year she would have been 9. But we did that the following year, but we don't really do much. We don't really talk about it much. But with Grayson, since she's been in the world, we do let her know that she does have an older sister. You know,
okay.
But she's in heaven.
Okay.
That's it. Yes. But that's her guardian angel. You know.
Yes.
So she asks us questions about it a lot.
Yeah.
Grace talks to us about it a lot, and we talk to her about it. And sometimes Grace even wants to even go to her graveyard.
And so
I take her there when she wants to go. And sometimes Grace will write her a note. and stick it into the, you know, to the vase. You know, so, but we do talk to Grayson about her, and and sometimes we'll sit at home and just talk about it. You know, but it's still, if I'm gonna be honest, it's still a sensitive subject.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Sometimes it's still hard for us to even talk about it.
I like how y'all don't hide that from her, you know, because
we do not.
That's important. I mean, me and my mom and daddy, they had a they lost Tanika, was my older sister. We would have been 2 years apart. And I always knew, me and TJ both always knew we had an older sister. And I, you know, they did not try to hide that. So I like how you honor her in that way of talking to Grayson about her and going to visit the grave. And And, you know, when that, and I'm glad that's good to know, because some people don't want to open up that can of worms, as people say. But I think that's important for her to know that. And it probably helps you guys in a way, too. It just,
but it does.
Like, this is part of our family, you know? Yeah, so
correct. It's, you know, you have a sister, you know, she didn't get to but you have, you know, we let her know, like, hey, you have a sister. And she's watching, and she's watching over you, you know?
That's right.
She, and she's around. Mm-hmm. And a part of her is in Grayson.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
yeah,
you know, but I, you know, I do talk about Mackenzie. You know, and you don't heard me talk about it from the pulpit.
Yes.
That's my way. That's my way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
But also, I want to help other women who may have had miscarriages or stillbirth, or the baby was born then died.
Yeah.
If they can see that I'm still, my wife and I are still going forward. We're still trying. We're still doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Hope that gives somebody else courage. Like, hey, if they can get through this.
Yeah.
Now they got a daughter. Hey, that's we can too. Yeah.
That's
so,
right. It gives people hope, Pastor. It gives them hope. It does. Because when you go through hard things like it, you don't even see what's next for you, honestly.
No, you don't.
You just feel so hopeless. You don't think it'll ever happen for you, you know?
No, that's right.
So just hearing you say that is helping me right now because, it's just a lot. And you don't really see past what you're dealing with in the moment. And I think a lot of people can probably attest to having that feeling at some point in their lives. So I appreciate that testimony for sure.
She has six miscarriages. We lost one child.
Yeah.
And Grayson's number eight.
Grayson
number eight. So
yeah.
With God, Mark 10:27. With God, all things are possible.
All things are possible. Yeah. Well, all right, Pastor. We're gonna switch gears. I appreciate you for being so honest.
Bless you.
Like I say about your dad and about your daughter as well. So we're gonna switch a little bit to the ministry. And I want to ask you this. One of the questions you answered already, but I want to ask you this. During those moments of everything we just talked about, and any other loss or grief that you've had in your life, did your faith ever shake a little bit? And what did that look like, you know, you getting going back to church or getting back involved? Because I think things happen that can kind of shake us a little bit sometimes. So I'm just interested to know, has that ever happened to you and how did you bounce back from that?
I'm not gonna say that my faith shaped.
But I was
severely discouraged. Definitely wounded. And despondent. You know, I can't say that my faith was shaken. I was like David in Psalm 27:13. It says, I would have fainted if I didn't believe God. And it was because I believed God that even though I was bleeding, I was wounded, and I was severely discouraged, I still had hope. Faith was my substance.
Okay, I see.
Faith was my substance. It wasn't there. It was not there. I mean, we went to a specialist. I can't remember what the specialist called, and they was trying to tell us to do pregnancy a different way, like where they take the seed.
They plant.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've heard in vitro. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and fertility specialists
and people.
There we go.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they was highly recommended that they was basically telling us not to try it naturally no more.
I see. But again, I
would have fainted if I didn't believe God, but I believe God. I was angry at God. I did get angry. And I had to repent on some things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I got down on myself too. You know, when you start having losses, your conscience start playing with you. Like, well, if it you sure would have did this, if you would have did that, if that wouldn't have happened, you know, blah, 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 blah. Satan was, but in Psalm 27:14 says, you know, I waited on the Lord. Uh-huh. I waited on the Lord and it gave me courage. You know, it gave me courage and he strengthened my heart. Mm-hmm. And so I waited on the Lord, you know, and I waited on him and I kept reading. So before Grayson, watch it. Before Grayson, we had a miscarriage a month before Grayson was conceived.
Wow.
Yeah. A month after that miscarriage, Grayson was conceived. Gotcha. In 2017. So she had that was the sixth miscarriage that she had. So before Grayson, she had another miscarriage. Yeah.
Yeah. She has a whole story then.
She really do. She really do. The year Grayson was conceived, you know, she lost her mama that same year.
Yeah. I remember that.
Shannon definitely She got a story to tell.
Yeah, for sure.
Lady Duke is a miracle.
Yeah. Yes, she is.
Because
for sure.
It's really been hard all her life. So to see her still come to church, see her still speak in faith, still praise God, still show up, and still believe. Yeah, she's a miracle.
Yeah, she is.
She's a miracle.
She is. Yeah. She's always been encouraging to me ever since I've known her. Before church, she worked at the Boys and Girls Club one time. We used to do a lot of stuff together. So she's always been encouraging. I would have never thought. Yeah, and I would have never thought So she's definitely the epitome of strength for sure.
I know
sometimes we don't always feel like we are, you know, women and men.
And she don't. Sometimes she don't, but she is. I have to remind her that.
Yeah.
I have to remind her a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. She's
a rock. She's been my rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Well, I like the analogy. One thing I was going to ask you about, what's your perspective on God and therapy? Because I know when this situation happened with me, you was like, I can do everything for you, Tiffany, but you need to maybe seek extra help if you need it. So I just want to know what your theory on that.
God and therapy goes hand in hand. In Matthew 11 chapter, God says, come unto him. Okay. All you that's heavy laden, heavy burden, and I give you rest. So, of course, we should always go to God and lay it. Even Peter said, cast thy burdens, you know, upon the Lord and leave it there. So we from the faith perspective, we all know that we should go to God. We know that.
Yeah.
But I do believe in therapy for the simple fact, we need a safe place where we can release and say how we really feel. Okay. And therapy is good because the person that you're releasing and saying how you really feel, you're gonna get a healthy response. And even though we got friends, we got family members, and we got people that we can talk to, you get me? A lot of times our responses may not be healthy.
That's right.
Or it may not be what you need. And so when you go to therapy, you're able to release and be yourself and really say what's on your mind. So therapy is important because even Galatians 6:2. It tells us to bear one another's burdens. A therapy session is that therapist is bearing your burden. because that person is sitting there and they're listening to everything that is terrorizing and hurting you or is causing you grief. So we as people, we are called to stand with someone when they are in grief. And listen and help a person navigate so they can heal. So I do believe in therapy because sometimes you could preach to people. Sometimes you can preach to people too much. Everybody don't need a sermon, and everybody don't need a lecture, right? Yeah, that's true. And everybody don't need you to show them Genesis through Revelation.
That's true.
Yeah, people don't need you to Revelation all the time. You know, the word's gonna be the word, and we know that. But sometimes we just need to be human.
We need
to be human and be able to express ourselves and not be in this, you know, I know the Lord. No, we just need to be human. That's why God has made created man and woman and created us all so that we could be there for one another. Because he knew that we're going to need a physical presence. Physical presence matters. You know, support matters. The support matters. God is God, but you need a physical presence. And sometimes you need that physical presence that you don't know. And so therapy is good. You don't know the therapist. You don't know them personally. They don't know you personally.
They don't know you.
So you're going to get a balance. You're going to get an honest response. Yeah. You're going to get a balanced reaction. You know, it's going to be balanced versus you talking to me. You know, I got love for you, Tim. So I'm going to always come.
Right.
I'm going to take your side a bit more versus a therapist. A therapist is going to maybe give you a hard truth, and I may give you an easy truth. You get what I'm saying? So I think God and therapy goes hand in hand together, and it's Bible. I mean, the Bible says cast, bear each other's burdens. So that's why God made therapists.
To help
you with your burden.
I think so too. I always tell people, if we sick, we go to the doctor. If our tooth hurt, we go to the dentist. But why is it when our minds are just all over the place?
Good point.
Why do get this working muscle? Because that's all our brain is a muscle. You know, why we don't get that checked into, as far as our mental. So, you said is, it is right in alignment with what you said.
That's a good point. You know, we go to the dentist and we do all these checkups. And then you got some of these sanctimonious people. You don't need no therapy. Yeah, you do need therapy.
Main one needed.
And everybody may one needed too.
Main one who needed. You're right. You need that person that's gonna be non-biased, like you say, that don't know nothing about you. You don't know nothing about them because you're more open to talk. Someone that's trusted like that.
It honestly takes faith.
Yeah.
It takes faith to go to therapy.
It does. Oh yeah.
Because
it does.
Faith is truth, right?
Right.
Faith is truth, right?
Right.
But in order to be truthful, you got to be able to admit that I got a problem.
That's right.
So it takes faith to go to a therapist, because you tell that therapist, I have a problem. I have something that's messing with me. Yeah. And it's messing with my psyche. So it takes faith. That is faith.
Yeah.
That's faith.
Now that you said that.
That's faith. You know, if you don't go and see about yourself because you don't have faith enough and believe that if I go get help, that it's going to help me. Yeah. So when you're going to get help, you saying I have faith. When I go to get a therapist, get counseling, I have faith that it's going to help me.
Right, right.
Make me better, and get me through it. So it takes faith. It takes faith. Yeah. It takes faith to admit that you're weak. That's faith. To admit that you're weak.
Because that's tough.
It is. It is tough.
Especially when you used to being the strong person who.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I don't need help. Because you pull your bootstraps up and you deal with life and you get through it. But,
that's right.
Definitely knocked me down on my under the ground, not even on my face, under the ground to say, I'm weak at this point. Like, hey, I don't know what to do. I don't have no answer now.
And you have been doing awesome. What you went through.
I appreciate it.
what you went through, you've been doing awesome. That was very unexpected, and it was very hard. And for you to still, you're thriving though, because you're doing something about it. You know, you're making awareness, and you're using what was bad.
That's right.
And you're turning it into good. And even though you have your moments and you don't have your hard time, you're showing up. You're being the face for other people.
To
let them know that you can't survive it. You can't survive it. It hurts, but you can survive it. It hurts, but you're gonna have to talk about it. It hurts, but you're gonna have to face it. It hurts, but you're gonna have to deal with it.
That's right. You have to. It ain't no other option.
It's not.
Yeah.
And you bring an awareness like, yes, you're suffering, but I want to show you other people. I want to show you other people that are suffering right there with you, so you're not by yourself.
Yeah. I appreciate you for saying that to me, because it's good to hear that type of stuff, because you're right. None of us, when we're going through something, we don't always recognize the strength we are showing.
No, we don't.
You don't see that at all.
No, you don't.
You know? And so I appreciate you for, stating that and just wrapping it up in that bow, because that does make a lot of sense.
And I appreciate your strength, because you could have been like, I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm done with life. I'm done with this. I'm done with that. But no, you're showing up.
Yeah.
And we need more people to show up to help other people get out of the valley and out of the... out of the trauma that they're in, people need this, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's okay to ask for help.
Yes. Oh yeah, but yeah, definitely.
It's okay. It's okay to ask for help.
Yeah. I agree with you. 100%.
God said, "What? I'm a prince. He's I'm a prince and help." Well, it's okay. That means he's a help. That's help.
He's a help.
That means
you. Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay to ask for help.
Yeah, that's true. I was gonna ask you this question too. How can we reconcile a loved one's death? And when I think about death, I think about, someone being murdered, like my situation, someone who may have cancer. How do we reconcile those type of deaths with the goodness of God? Like, how can we find good in some of those tragic, like you say, trauma-filled moments when we think about people dying in different car accidents?
Right.
Gun violence, shooting, all that. How can we find goodness in that?
I think more importantly, the people that experience that, they're gonna need our presence. They're gonna need our presence first. I think they're gonna need our presence. I think that's gonna be the first thing. The people that goes through murder, car accidents, unexpected death, or cancer, in order for people to see goodness. Mm-hmm. They got to see goodness in the people that's around them, right?
Okay, yeah.
Means if we're present, if they can feel that you're present, it's not about what you're saying.
Yeah.
The first thing is about you, whoever it is that's going to be present, And I think secondly, is us listening. Prayer, right? When we talk to God, that means God is listening. Well, I think for people, they don't need to. They don't need nobody preaching to them. They need you to listen. Just listen to them.
Just listen.
And sometimes it's not about what we say. It's just about us being present and listening for people to really see the goodness of God, that I'm going through this. I have a major loss, but look, so-and-so is right here with me. But being present, and again, when I was talking about, Psalm 46, God's a present help. It's about being present. About being present. What can I do? Or what do you need me to do? Or I'm just letting you know I'm here. You can talk to me. And, that's how people are going to see the goodness of God. I think that's what helped people get through more than anything, is knowing that somebody's available. Somebody's available. Somebody is.
It went out again.
Oh, did it? You're moving on my end.
I think you froze. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you good.
Okay, good. It got stuck again for a moment. Okay, we back.
It's all good. I think more for people to see how can we help people deal with that, and to see God's love is just us being present. I think that's the I think that's the biggest thing, us being present. And you know, being present means being present. Not bringing up what you're going through, but
No. Right. You right.
Yeah. Be present with that person with that person. And don't add on what you got going on. You just need to be present with that person. Yeah. And help them navigate through whatever that is, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking life into a dead situation, speaking life to an impossible situation, you know, speaking good things, you know, speaking things that's gonna bring them life, you know, that's gonna give them hope, you know. Yeah. You know, it's about being present. That's my take on that. And mainly just listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being an active listener at that, because, you know, sometimes people, you can listen, but are you really listening? You know,
yeah, that's right. That's
you
right.
Actively listening.
So, that's yeah. right. Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. Right. Yeah. That's true. Okay. I want you to share a story from the Bible that offers hope in the face of death. Can you think of a biblical story that offers hope?
That's a passage of Mark 5:22. There was a leader of the local synagogue. His name was Jairus, and his daughter was severely sick, and he was looking for Jesus. He was looking for Jesus because he knew his daughter was severely sick, and the only way that he knew that this situation was going to improve. Mm-hmm. He had to find Jesus, and he pleaded with Jesus. He said, "My daughter is dying, and please come, you know, lay your hands on her and heal her so she can live." And he said, and Jesus said unto Jairus, he said, "Your daughter will be well because your faith has made her well." And he said, "Your suffering will be over." So when you look at this passage, I think the biggest thing is that he knew that his daughter was severely sick, but he had confidence. Mm-hmm. He had hope, and he had assurance, if I get this message over to Jesus, mm-hmm. that my daughter can survive this, or something can be made right by this, or something can be made better. And I believe that the biggest hope that we can give people is through the word of God, that by the examples of Jairus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got to go to, regardless of what the situation is, your first step is, I got to go to Jesus, because Jesus can change this. Jesus can fix this. Jesus can make this better. You know, Jairus, his mind, he left his daughter. He left his daughter. Mm. And went to hope. Sometimes you got to leave where you are, mm-hmm. and find hope. And the way to find hope is you got to leave. You got to leave. Like, you can't sit in it. You can't dwell in it. Like,
right.
His mindset was, I got to go find Jesus. Now what he could have did was stay with his daughter and stay with his daughter and watched her die.
That's true.
But he had enough confidence to try to find a solution.
Yeah.
To try to find an answer. And so he left for a minute by faith. And everything that we do, we got to do it, you know, by faith. You know, that's why Romans 8 says, the 18th verse, and it says, "For our breaking the surface of the present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that God shall reveal in us." You know, if our faith is in God, if our faith is in Christ, we know that the suffering that we see now, it's not going to always be like this. It's going to change. You know, this is not how the story is going to end. And that's what Jairus right there. This is not, my daughter's sick, but this is not how the story is going to end. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave sickness. I'm going to leave fear. I'm going to leave death. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to find life. I'm going to find resurrection. I'm going to find healing. I'm finna find medicine, and that's our approach that we need. That when we get in and dive into temptation and get in struggles and get in dilemmas and get in traumas, you know, we got to learn how to try to leave that to find rest, to find hope, you know, and look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, you know, of our faith.
Yeah, that's a good story. I'm about to do some research and actually
read Mark 5. Mark 5. Start. Yeah, yes, ma'am. You can start in verse 20. 22, verse 22, you know, again, it took faith, you know, now, it takes faith, it does take faith, like, it takes faith, like, he had to leave his daughter. It's hard for me to leave Grayson when she's sick, it's hard for me to leave her when she's sick, it's hard for me to, you know, to go away from her, but there's times I have to go, and trust God that God's going to take care of her, that God's going to sustain her, and God's going to heal her. So you know, it took faith for Jairus to leave.
Yes,
but he was confident because he knew if he when he found him, when he found you, that something's going to happen, something's going to change. And even when we go to Christ, and even though the situation doesn't change, we are reassured that when our loved one dies, or will not get better here, that the former things that they was going through here, once they die, has passed away. You know, Revelation 21:4 says, God said what? Wipe the tears from all their eyes. There should be no more death. There should be no more sorrow. You know, no crying. For the former things have passed away. So we are confident, even if God doesn't answer our prayers on earth, we know that God's going to answer when they go to be with him. Yeah. They that die in the Lord lives with the Lord. They that live in the Lord, they that lives on earth, we live in God, we die in God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, that's true. Very true. Well, yeah, I appreciate you for that whole little ministry segment. I think that was really empowering
for me,
and I'm sure it's going to be for others.
I hope so.
Yeah, go ahead.
I hope it will be.
Yeah, it will be for sure. For sure. Well, we are nearing the end, so I just got a couple of more for you. Go ahead.
I said, you can tell me the truth, I'm born now. You can tell me the truth, I'm born now.
You ain't born. How do you prioritize your self-care? Or you could answer it like how... I always ask people about their rituals of like things they do to keep themselves grounded. So however you want to approach it.
Okay.
I just want to know some things, like some different strategies to add to our toolboxes.
Well, my biggest thing is you need to draw lines.
Okay.
You need to draw lines, and if something or someone is crossing that line, that line tells you they done went too far. So if you guys, so that's even with your mental space, you need to draw lines. If there's something in your mind that's crossing that line, that's that stopping sign for you saying, okay, you said you weren't gonna go out. Go off in deep space. You said you were gonna let that person keep using you. You said you were gonna let that thing keep coming and terrorize you. You need to draw lines, and it's all about accountability. It's all about accountability. You gotta protect yourself at all times. You know, you gotta protect yourself at all times, and you gotta govern yourself by those lines. You know, we are our own governor, right? And you gotta govern yourself, and you gotta draw lines. And if you ain't got no lines drawn, you're going to let anything, anybody, or anything mentally, physically, or spiritually come and cross that line with you. And, you know, and that's how I take care of my self-care. I draw lines. I draw lines. I draw lines that says, I said to myself, I'm not going to play back the same stuff in my head anymore.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to keep responding to people toxic ways or attitude. Right?
Yep, that's a big one.
No lines must be drawn. Like there's some people, you could tell them over and over and over and over the same stuff. You gotta draw a line where you gotta say, and you gotta be able to draw a line where you gotta say this. I'm not gonna keep telling this person the same stuff every time. Because after a while you got to stop. You have to stop. Let people be.
Yes.
When people refuse to acknowledge or adhere to your advice, draw that line.
You got to.
And let them do them. Yeah. You know, but the way I do self care is I draw lines. And when I see that line getting crossed, I stop. I bag up. Yeah. To protect myself.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb, because you can really protect yourself from a whole bunch of people, situations, and most of the time it's stuff that ain't got nothing to do with you. People bringing you into whatever they
yes.
got going on
yes.
in their world. And next thing you know, you worried about something that really ain't got nothing to do with you.
That's right.
And draw you them, right. Bring it straight.
Draw them lines.
Draw
them lines.
That's what we should have named this episode, the Draw the Line episode.
Draw the line. Draw the line, man. I'm
that's
telling
good.
You, draw the
line. That's good sound advice for self-care, because, you know, a lot of times we think of like, oh, go and, you know, go out for a nice dinner, go get a massage. But no,
that was
the gym right there. That
draw the line.
That can save us a whole lot of, you know, from drama. Going through a whole lot of drama.
Drama. Mess.
You
mess,
right, mess.
Confusion. You headaches. Right.
That's
anxiety.
Right. Yeah, because people
draw
gonna be
lines.
Who they gonna be. Yeah, that's
you got,
true.
You got to tell yourself, I'm not gonna keep thinking about this. Draw the line. I'm not gonna keep going over this. Draw the line.
Uh-huh.
I'm not gonna keep dwelling on this. Draw the line. Like, you gotta draw lines. Like, you gotta have standards. You know, self care. Self care comes with standards. You know, and if you don't draw the line, man, you'll fall for anything. You know, you'll go for anything. You know.
Yeah.
And you keep it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you keep repeating yourself. I ain't gonna keep repeating myself. I'll tell somebody maybe 10 times.
Uh-huh.
After that 10th time, I'm not gonna keep telling you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, because insanity is doing the same thing, you know, expecting a different result, I guess.
Exactly. If your name ain't Grayson Duke, I'm only gonna tell you 10 times. I may tell Grayson over 100 times.
Yeah,
but your name ain't Grace Duke. Right. I'm gonna give you 10 times. Listen to me. I'm not gonna keep telling. I'm already losing my hair as it is. I'm not gonna keep losing my hair.
You gotcha. I'm saying that. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. So
that was a good one right there. That was good.
Oh, bless you.
Okay. Let's see. We wrapping up. I'm gonna ask you. You've just dropped a lot of good stuff in this set. I think I'm going to go straight to my outro questions, because everything else we kind of already talked about.
Okay.
If you could have a song, so we know Quinn was into music. So
yes,
this
he was.
Is a common song question I ask everybody. If you could have a song be your life story, what would it be and why? And some people do one song, some people do two songs. So whatever's in your spirit.
But let me say, Quentin was definitely was a singer. And,
yes, sir.
And I envy him. His voice is so stronger than mine. Oh, man. That boy can sing you out the building. You hear me?
Yes.
That boy can sing you out the building, man. He had such a strong voice. And I used to love when he came to New Day.
Yeah.
Visit me.
Yeah.
He helped my praise team out. You know, and praise and worship. If I knew anybody was going to shout, I knew he was going to shout.
Without a doubt.
But he was a singer. He was a singer. I so miss him. But if I was going to name a song, Tiffany, that would tell my life story, it would be by Sam Cooke.
Okay.
I was born by a river. And the reason why, because sometimes in my life, you know, one of the verses, it's been too hard living.
Yeah.
It's been too hard living. And when my wife and I got married, we had some struggles. We had some major struggles. It was rough. It was rough. Okay. And in that verse, he also says, there was times that I thought that I wasn't going to last for long. And Tiffany, there was some times, you know, and you might be shocked that I'm saying this. I may not come off like that, but there was times I didn't think I was going to last. I didn't think I was going to make it.
I understand.
Make it in, you know, in life.
Yeah.
You know, make it in ministry.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time coming.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? Uh-huh. The change has been coming lately. The change has been coming. The change has been coming. But it's been hard. Been hard. And I thought I wasn't gonna last. But the song is true. The change has definitely been coming.
Change has came.
And 2025. 2024 to now,
yeah,
the change definitely been coming.
Wow,
The change will come.
That's such a blessing, you know, when you can look back and
and
see how far you've come, you know.
Yeah, that's right. It's been rough. And everything that I've done, Tiffany, it's been by faith. Trust me. I've been my wife been married for 17 years. Okay. And it's been by faith. Yeah. It's been by faith because we had some struggles, you know. Almost lost a lot of things and money issues and and you know, not having gas and not having this and that, and you know, and that's that causes grief.
It does. Yeah.
And you know, and making from one check to another. You know, but when I tell you God has kept us, He has kept us and supplied and sending people like you, Tiffany, you know, people from the ministry who has blessed us.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, it's been a long time coming. But but I'm telling you, I know the change. I'm in the change right now. Right now, I'm in the change.
That's amazing. Right now. That gives, I'm sure, so many other people hope, Pastor, you know, you just saying that. And
I hope so.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I want people to know that, you know, because you see me running, you see me jumping, you see me singing and screaming and hollering, and he's able, and all that stuff. But the times I was saying he's able, I was struggling. I was dying. I was hurting. I was empty. I was, I didn't know. But I was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whether God saved me or not, he's able. He's able.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But I'm in that chain. It took a minute. They didn't wait upon the Lord. I had to wait, Tiffany. I had to wait. Uh-huh. I had to wait. But I'm in that chain right now.
It's crazy you testify a bit because, Quinn would always tell me, you know, Tiffany, it ain't always what you think, you know, when you see people up and, you know, because I know some of the things he went through. And
I don't
care what happened. That boy never lost his praise.
He did not.
That boy never.
He did not.
I don't care what was going on, you know, or what decision he had made. Like, he stayed connected to God no matter what. And he taught me that. Oh, yeah, for sure. And so just me knowing that of you know, some of the things that have transpired, when you can, like you say, keep the faith, stay connected to God, you know, like you say, nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. No. Okay.
And so I think people often look at people like you or a person like Quinn and like, oh, they got it going on. But you know, it's like, no, it ain't always been like that. You know, we like everybody else. He used to tell me that all the time. Like, pastors, ministers, all that, like, hey, we all going through it. We just like, we ain't no different from nobody else. We just been called and set up to share the good news. And so it's crazy saying all that. It reminds me of so many conversations me and him had.
That's amazing.
So, that's confirmation for sure. And,
yeah, you got to see the life of what Shannon goes through now. Because Quentin was a minister. So you got to that life.
Oh, well, yeah,
she's She sees my ups. She sees my downs. She seen my imperfection. She sees my attitude, my anger. She's seen
everything.
She's seen everything. So because we up in that pulpit and because we do what we do, it don't mean that our life is perfect. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that we always joyful and that we always ready to praise God, but we it because of our commitment and our faith in God.
Well, you got any final thoughts from today that you want to share with the people? I feel like we done covered a lot. It's been really, really good. So I didn't know if it was anything you wanted to highlight.
With everything that we said, Tiffany, you know, death, misfortunes, right? It does not end or bury you when you are in God. When you are in God, and I said this earlier, you die in God. Mm-hmm. And when you die in God, you live in God, you know? So when you are in God, you die in God. And when you die in God, you rise with God because God didn't stay dead. He got back up. So you rise with him.
That's
so so death in God, you know, death in God brings life.
Yeah.
And when you rise in God, it brings victory. So whatever that you have whatever anybody has going on in their life. You know, even though it's not looking like you wanted to look, and you're not experiencing what you thought you was going to experience, and even though you have more losses than gains, but when you are in God, and when you die in God, you rise with Him. And death and God brings life. You know, so you're not defined. Again, death does not bury you.
Yeah.
Misfortune does not bury you. Right. When you are in God, and when you are in God, you rise with Him, and you're always in victory. You know, John 16 and 33, it says that, in this life you should have tribulation, but in me, you will have victory. You overcome the world. So, you know, you got to be a good cheer, because in God you will overcome. So just don't allow the mishaps, the misfortunes, and the deaths and the losses dictate your purpose and your destiny, because that's not how the story's going to end. Because when you in God, you always win. Always win.
That's a good word.
God bless you.
Well, tell us what we got going on at the ENDCC, New Day Community Church. Do you want to share anything we got going on or coming up?
So you already know I was already excited, because, you know, the candles came last Sunday. So, you know, I was excited about that. Yes. And also, I got what coming up now, and what we got coming up this weekend is Pastor. Pastor Mount Lebanon, Pastor Greg Givens, right? Pastor Greg Givens, I'm gonna be preaching on his past anniversary.
Gotcha.
And this month we're gonna start back our youth worship. So we're gonna pour into these kids. The kids, we're gonna really try to focus on them this year, and really get them going. We've been doing it since 22, but we 25. We're gonna be a little bit more aggressive and really make sure that we pour into them. And as you know, Sunday mornings at 9:00, on Wednesdays we have our midweek service. And so things are really looking up for us at the NDCC. You know, God has really been gracious to us, and God is still moving us. And we're just looking to do more in 2025.
Yeah. Sound awesome. And I will link, we have a Facebook page.
All right.
So I will be sure to link all of our information in the description, so you guys can start following New Day Community Church.
Most definitely.
And we got YouTube, so we may be getting that up to par soon.
That's right.
So yeah,
that's
right. We'll put everything in the description of the video of how to get to us. So, and we're at 606 Mooresville Pike. Is that right?
That's right.
Columbia, Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Well, Pastor, I appreciate you for coming on today. I know you've had a busy day, and I just appreciate you for just sharing, your testimony, sharing your experiences, and also just being present today. I really appreciate it.
It's my honor.
More than you ever know. Yeah.
It's my honor. And anytime you need me, let me know.
I will. And tell First Lady whenever she's ready. She always, it's open door policy. She let me know.
Yes, ma'am. She be ready for you.
She's a lot like me, kind of just kind of quiet and laid back.
She is. She's laid back.
But she got a story, man. She got a story.
She do.
Man, she do. Does. So
she do.
Whenever she's ready, I'm here for sure.
We appreciate you, Tiffany, and we appreciate the gift that God has placed in you, and we believe in you highly, and we pray that God is going to prosper this podcast, and whatever you put your mind and heart to, that God will fulfill every desire of your heart.
Thank
in Jesus'
you
name.
So much.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Well, I always leave Quinn used to always say, all is well, no matter what happens. So I always
begin
and sign up, all is well.
All is well. All is well.
Yes, it is. Well, you guys have a good rest of the week. I know you guys will enjoy this podcast episode, and we will see you on the next time. Thank you all so very much. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
We hope that today's episode has encouraged you and helped to identify strategies to navigate your grief and begin the process of moving forward in life. Grief Tribe, Healing Vibes. What were some key takeaways from today's episode? Drop a comment below, and remember to like, follow, and subscribe.